Hey, DC fans, it's Gary from Burton's Comics. I just want to let you know that Burton's Comics is open and ready to serve you in Hamilton, Ontario, down 725 Barton Street East. Come in for some deals on the weekend. Thanks.
What up? Back at it again, you know, coughing and hooting and swiggly doodling. It's everybody's favorite animated hour that isn't quite animated. It's us, the feature creatures. What's going down? We'll tell you what's going down. And by us, I mean myself, the fluffluffagus, the fright furball himself. My name tag says Mize. My undie pants says Mize. I'm pretty sure I'm that guy.
And I am the coffin on a cloud from this cake crasher. I am, of course, Cloudy J. And to my left, she's always knitting, never quitting. She's gluten-free and cute as can be. And right now, she is working on a Sinestro doll. Shauna, say what's up.
What up?
Where are your catchy rhyming? You got to do all your catchy rhyming, you criminal. I'm watching you.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, I want you to knit. I want you to knit, and she can do all the like really cool rhyming stuff.
No, you're just gonna hug Sinestro, because I'm of course Courage Pro Wrestling's two-time commentator of the year. I am the best thing breathing, the greatest thing going, the host with the most keeping it down like buttered toast. Clowny J.
Buttered toast, Shauna. Where is your toast? God damn it!
I ate it.
You son of a... This is why she's number one of the most wanted for toast crime.
She makes her own breadcrumbs out of it, too.
She does. She cannibalizes on safe bread, and then she uses the scared nuggets of the bread to further, like, any more culinary success. She is a true mastermind, a culinary genius of villainy.
I've seen her make her own loaf of bread from scratch, toast it all, then grind it all down to make homemade breadcrumbs.
I seen Jay make a whole loaf of bread, and I gotta tell you, I'm still traumatized from the spoopy pooping.
Yeah, that was a big loaf I pinched that day.
I can still hear the pinches. I can still hear the pinches.
Oh, how you doing this week, sir?
I can't overly complain. It was fairly uneventful up until Canada Day. I got my game on with some stuff, and some pretty interesting shit happened in the role-playing bit. I had an entire fortress of people telling me that, you know, they're going to beat me, they're going to beat my crew, and they're going to beat information out of us, and we just walloped the shit out of their armed fortress, and I got to tell you, it felt great and all. But aside from that shit, it's been pretty dormant. Up until that, waiting for the next week to go around to get my comics. Like I said, it's been a pretty dormant week. I felt like I've pretty much hibernated a lot of the good portion of it, primarily because I've been up till God knows what stupid time in the morning, and primarily for that, I've been like snacking out at like 2-3 in the morning like a true fucking stoner. This God Kush I ended up getting, they branded it God Kush, but I gotta tell you, man, it's like diarrhea stank, but it's got that Nesquik goodness for the smoke. You know, it fucks me right up. Like, I look at my middle name, I don't even recognize the idiot in the card.
Well, I talked about last week how we were being sent in that 7 grams from our friends over at Herb Approach.
That's right. You said that it's, you know, keeping you fly, keeping you in the sky, you know, nothing but good things so far. Is it still the same way, you know, treating you well?
Yeah, you know, a complete rundown. So we go to pick up the package. It's there a day early for us.
That's fucking tight.
Not only that, the packaging is super discreet. The shipping label says it's coming from a video game thing, like a gaming outlet.
From a gaming outlet? That's pretty cool.
That way it doesn't look suspicious.
Now, you know, why should it be in the first place? I mean, you know, it's just a delicate, you know, mind your own business kind of package with a friendly label from a friendly gaming company on it, just kind of casually strutting on into your PO box, you know what I mean?
That's right. And, you know, from there, it's even in the vacuum-sealed, smell-proof bag as well.
Fantastic.
So we busted up beautiful, tight little nugs, green as a baby Yoda, with some purple sprinkled in there.
Oh. Purple nugs, good things for those of you who aren't well-educated in Kush. It's nice to see Incredible Hulk or Joker colors, but, you know, a true enthusiast of the stuff, they can really just see the enjoyment they're going to expect in the future with these color variations.
And, you know, it still lasted us. We've got a couple pieces of it left, and you know how we roll, like how we smoke. That's how, like, knockout. That's what I was coughing and choking on when we came on the air.
Oh, shit, baby. Ripping them bong hits like no tomorrow. And with a tasty flavor such as this cake one you got here, it only means good and better things to come from Herb Approach. I imagine a multitude of various flavors and great care and quality to come.
Oh, yeah, great deals as well. Check out their sales section. And, you know, as we can attest to, our friend Scott, stupid, sexy, whatever it is this week until he gets suspended over on Twitter.
Stupid,
sexy Scott. Shout out to him. You saw the candy bar he was munching down on tonight.
Good God. That man puts more THC in his system than the fucking alphabet going over and over again. So from his enjoyment of things, you know, it's all just a get better as you go kind of shit. And when it comes to the merchandise of it, your body's just going to thank you thrice over.
It really will. So check out Herb Approach's website. Get that $25 discount just for signing up. Check out some of their sales and hit them up on Twitter. Let them know that we sent you.
At Herb Approach, I'm sure they'll love to hear that people that they've recently seen talking with them and about them are spreading the good word about all the cheer and good product that they're hoping to give out to everyone. So, you know, be part of the family, create some variety in your usual selection. Hit them up, get your stuff.
Well, what do you say we move along into some news here? Shauna is freaking out because she just put Sinestro's evil-looking eyebrows and little mustache on his face, and he's looking.
God,
if you saw the Hal Jordan that just went up tonight, you'll get an idea. You'll get an idea what the Sinestro is going to look like. But my God, he's looking great.
That's good, because I did see the Hal Jordan. I'm a fan of how well it turned out for the smaller portion one. You know, she just recently started on this kind of thing, and. You know, the real detail in here, how she manages to coordinate all the proper, like, color assignments, the figure, like, the overall stature of it. This kind of thing's going to catch on, you know. You guys really got to check this out. You'll get our socials a little later on. You'll know where to see Hal Jordan and the rest of the fun mini bunch.
Fun fact about the Hal Jordan, the hands and around the chest piece all glow in the dark.
That's extra steps right there. Kudos.
And it only took me an hour to make.
Holy shit. Thank God so you're not paid hourly, eh?
If there's a character you want, folks, hit us up on Twitter. Well, we're talking if you go through us, it'll only be 15 plus shipping and handling. We're going to work out a deal with Burden's Comics in Hamilton. If you go there, we'll work out a deal where you can get like 3 for $25.
Which case is a really fantastic deal, because beforehand of the original size one she was making before, the prices for them, you know, you kind of compare them in size and depth and again the detail. It's going to be like just a fantastic acquirement, you know, just as these previous ones were. Now you got something you can either hook onto your bags, you can, you know, place up next to your TVs or laptops to kind of set up some decor for the place. This is a nice handmade fan-based merch going on, and the more that's going to come out, better it's going to get. So again, hit them up. We'll drop the socials later, and they're always more than happy to help accommodate you best they can.
Yeah, not just DC either. She's already dipped her toes into Darkwing Duck characters. Star Wars as well has been done, just little farm animals, including for Darkwing Duck, of course. The one episode where Goslin dressed up as a superhero, she made her as the Crimson Quackette.
Now, wouldn't it just be cool to take the $25 in your pocket and be like, you know what I'd like? A Darkwing, Goslin's character, and the Negaduck, and I can get them all for a cheaper rate than I would get them individually, so why not spoil myself? You get the best of the whole thing, and she gets to have fun making them for you. I'd say it's a win for everybody.
Hell, if you want Jay Garrick, Barry Allen, and Wally West, a little Flash family.
I don't think they would get a Jay Garrick out of this house.
You're going to keep all the Jay Garricks?
I'll keep the Jay Garricks.
Well, that just leaves the likes of Barry and Wally and maybe even Bart. So, you know, get them while you can. They're going fast.
You know, I think that's as great as a transition as any to jump into the news.
Yup.
Got some flashy news?
I do have some flash news.
Flash news, yeah.
Yeah, so Daniel Panabaker, Jesse T. Martin, and Candace Patton have all signed on for season 8. That does give a bit of a spoiler for the cliffhanger on this week's Flash episode.
Yeah, I'm intrigued as to where they're going with this. I imagine this is setting up for a CW variation of the Flash War.
Very much so, sir, because it has been revealed that in the season finale of Flash this year for season 7, Iris is getting her speedster powers back.
Nope. Nope. I'm having none of that.
From what's being said, it's going to work as the same way how Cecile got hers, because she had a meta baby. So because...
What baby?
She had
I
want
to know who he is. Where is baby?
So because Iris is going to be pregnant with Dawn and Bart.
Wait, Iris is going to be pregnant with Bart?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's her son.
What? Instead of their grandchild.
Yeah, Bart's supposed to be Barry's grandson.
Yeah.
Now it's not. Now it's his son.
They're taking the place of the Tornado Twins.
Oh, no. That was like the only good part about Wally's entire run as the Flash. Oh no, and sorry, Inertia. Inertia as well was fucking great. Aside from them, though, the twins probably is the absolute best aspect of like a Flash run that isn't Barry's or Bart's.
Also in the television world, Catherine
Mia Smoke.
Yeah, Mia Smoke. She keeps saying that, you know, if the Arrowverse were to call her, she'd be down to return. So doesn't sound like her phone has been ringing.
Oh.
Well, it's COVID.
You know, yeah, I found it weird that I couldn't
hear in.
Yeah, I found it weird that I couldn't hear it all the way from over here. I mean, like, if other main stage characters aren't getting called back for, you know, relative to previous appearances, especially in regards to the likes of fucking Chilblain, then what do you have such high hopes for? Of course, every single, like, B or C lister that's been part of the CW versus, like, some sort of character, all of them would probably say, yeah, I'll come back if they give me a call, because if they're not calling, who the fuck else is calling them?
Yeah, we haven't seen Hawkman and Hawkgirl since the end of season 1 of Legends of Tomorrow. Well, they're just like, yeah, we're not going to be part of the team anymore. Peace. They're still out there somewhere.
Which is absolute crap. I mean, I'd like to see where they end up. If they did more of that, like, a really deep cut tie-in stuff, and then they introduced Thanagarians in the Flash movie, and it's relative to the ones that parted ways with the Legends of Tomorrow, I would be fucking great. I would love that. That would be absolutely amazing.
Easier for the writers, though? Have them show up on Earth 2 on Stargirl.
Hawkman at the very least, yeah. Like, the best case scenario would be seeing them both. I think that would be really cool.
In the photo of the original JSA, both Hawkman and Hawkgirl are in the photo.
Oh my ass. I can't believe I forgot about that. It took me a minute because I'm thinking about the photo and I'm like, hold on a minute. There's a little bit of extra silhouette. Ah, crap. That's right. They could be
the only, The only two original JSA members not in that photo are Adam Smasher and the Spectre.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, Hawkgirl being the easier character to implement, like, in a television base, seeing as how she was already there in the CW-verse, you know, that that helps it a lot. That helps it make so much more sense, and it does help tie in the Legends of Tomorrow, Hawkman, and Hawkgirl, like, in a powerful sense.
I just had a thought on how they could introduce them both into Stargirl. Both Carter Hall and Shiera died before the big battle with the ISA, and they've both been reincarnated, and they just happen to be going to Courtney's school.
Oh my god. And one of the girls going there is a short-haired brunette, a Spanish woman, the name of Kendra Hall.
Yep.
Wow. That, okay.
Yeah, Jade on.
Yeah, Jade is going to be great.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, when was the last time you, like, even had, like, a strong reference base to Jade in the comics and shit?
Like, Infinite probably... Frontier. She's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Let's move along a little bit here, because Batwoman wants to add Jada Jett of Jet Industries and her Playboy son Marcus or Marquis for season 3. But those aren't the only two characters that they're looking to add, sir. They're looking to add a openly LGBTQ Hispanic woman in her 30s. And it looks like she's going to be playing Renee Montoya.
Ew. I mean... Yeah.
If this leads to us getting even the Renee version of the question in live action.
That's got to be, I think, honestly, that would have to be her thing. Like, all of her retorts come in the form of a question. Like, she has that starting appearance of a police officer, but that's how she answers everybody, is just, you know, like a rebuttal question going back and forth. Just using it as a response, and then the only non-question based ones is the her saying, "Now that is the question," and then she just makes her way off.
Either that, or like a philosophical quote, like Vic would drop.
That would
make someone question, make someone question themselves.
That would be an absolutely fantastic little Easter egg there. That would be spectacular for her to do to somebody.
Who the fuck do you think you are? Who am I? That is the question.
So you think you could come here by yourself, no guns whatsoever, while my men are all armed to the teeth? You're the one looking to kill somebody. I do find that weird.
Well, speaking of the question, Kevin Smith had pitched a DC Comics series to DC. Apparently, they were all on board for it. They were going to clear up Vic Sage for him to use. But someone along the food chain there said the story idea was too dark and pulled the plug on it.
Wow. Holy crap. You know, I've been talking with people going along to the comic shop there just regarding, you know, DC's management of the characters. Everybody thinks that it's just children that run DC Comics, and each and every time, like, there's a staff change up or there's like a huge promotion of somebody, it's like the maturity gets that much younger each time around. So anytime you see something ridiculously silly or questionable that, say, wouldn't be immediately targeted at a younger audience, this is just goofy business.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put it under, like, their Black Label imprint.
A 2-issue Suicide Squad run could have been done in, hold on, annual fucking book. Of all the teams that deserve their own modern age, like, yearly annual special, the Suicide Squad is pretty much breaking the windows down and screaming hello to everybody.
Well, speaking of Suicide Squad, did you see the first wave of Funkos that got announced?
I did.
Oh my goodness, I did not.
Dude, they put out, they're on the app right now for you to take a look at. The wave includes, there's going to be a few different versions of different characters. Like Bloodsport has a mask on, mask off variant. There's like four different Harley variants, including exclusives.
It's good that they did the mask on, mask off thing, because now they'll be able to recognize Idris Elba on a fucking Funko figure.
Yeah, I definitely want the mask on version, though.
Yeah, it's hands down. Like, why would you want the mask off version of a villain whose image drew you into him in the first place because of their sheer, like, just appearance?
And funny coincidence about that, the Bloodsport character was put in to replace the Deadshot character. The Deadshot Funko also has a mask on, mask off variant.
That is absolutely true. It does.
So also in the line, of course, there's multiple Harleys. Polka Dot Man, Peacemaker. The Peacemaker one looks dope. Like, it looks comic panel accurate.
Oh, that's fresh. I like to hear that. That's good.
Ratcatcher 2 with Sebastian the Rat.
Oh, is the Javelin one of them?
No, Javelin has a mini, one of the mini pops stuff.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
Rick Flag, there's a new Rick Flag, and of course, the most adorable Funko you'll ever see, King Shark in a pair of Hawaiian shirts with his hand up. Like, Hawaiian shorts.
Is this a regular size one or a bigger one?
Regular.
Oh, was
God,
he
big? God damn it. God.
That doesn't mean they're not going to announce a supersized version.
I know they're, but that should have just been part of the first wave thing. Look at the popularity he's got. He's so goddamn big already. The remaining eminence that doesn't fit on screen with him should have just transferred over to a regular Funko size and then made one of the 6-inch ones. Because, I mean, come on. King Shark. You got to make them king size.
This also, to me, spells out that if you didn't get a Funko, you're going to die.
Oh.
James Gunn did say a lot of people are going to die in this film. So I think that is our list of survivors.
Now that's a real mystery.
What, a month and a half when it comes out?
Yeah, it's not
like I cannot describe my anticipation at this point. It's a like a buildup of kinetic energy. Anytime I see it, anytime I hear it, anytime I talk about it, I get that much more hyped for it. Whatever James Gunn has in his fucking spice cabinet to turn this into the monster it's become before even being viewed by audiences of where we live around in this region and shit. Oh, yeah. It's going to be tremendous.
And of course, last but not least on my news sheet here, HBO is looking at an actor named Tobias Menzies from Game of Thrones.
Yes,
to play Thal Sinestro in the Green Lantern series.
Guy's got a good head for it. He did very well on Game of Thrones. I had to check out a scene with him in it because if I don't at least know the sound of him or, you know, have an idea of what he's capable of, so I wouldn't check that out. I was fairly impressed by it. And I certainly can't wait for the actual representation to hit HBO so that way I can just check out what he's going to do for the Green Lantern series.
Perfect. Shauna just confirmed to me that on release day for Suicide Squad, we will still be in Hamilton.
That is actually fantastic news. So totally varying us to what's going to be available, what's safest for us, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Well, I know it is. I've heard it's coming to Crave that day.
Oh, well, that is also fantastic.
If that's the case, we just hotbox my mom's basement and watch it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, she has that.
I'm glad you put it like that. That sounds so much cooler.
Yeah. And that is all we've got for news. What about yourself, sir? Is there any news that we may have missed?
Just a quick little detail that I thought of now for the Suicide Squad viewing. I thought it might be fun just to grab like one of those time clickers, or you know, like every time a patron goes into a certain location and they have to click down and keep track of attendance and shit. Then I do that every time I make a different. Every time I make a face during the Suicide Squad movie, like I can't obviously spoil the tales for it for you guys because you're gonna want to see it for your spell yourselves. So I just want to keep track of like my excitement for it to really put out there how awesome this movie was.
Well, that brings us, of course, into our next segment, and that is, hey, Mize, what you reading?
Nothing.
Well, like I said this week, I didn't manage to get any new titles going on there, like new books in the old collection there. So just rereading through the last week's stuff. I know I got quite a few titles to look forward to in regards to Batman, the Heroes Reborn and Return stuff, which has taken quite the turn. It's been quite the exciting title, like just the mainstream title alone. Totally, it has that House of M kind of feel where you read the main story arc and you're comfortable with that for the whole thing. You aren't really overly concerned with the side stuff, but you know it's there, and now you know you can enjoy like the far expansion parts of that. So Marvel just kind of dipped into DC's creativity and was like, I'm totally not looking at your homework, bro. And just went on from there. Like, Power Princess from the Squadron Supreme is fucking Wonder Woman to a T. I shit you not. This is not
That's the entire point of her. They're just parodies of the Justice League.
Absolutely. But they've never done it so, like, obviously as they did here. They've done everything down to, like, how close Zarda looks like Diana, fighting with the Amazons and shit. And even so far as the fucking same kind of equipment, a lasso, a fucking pair of power bands and shit, even the tiara. I'm like, oh my God. It's even other people, even like a visual staff, have made like just funny little nod that Zarda's, or I'm fairly certain that's her name, Zarda, is just Diana. And the rest of them, their actions, their golden age antics, and just overall mysterious features. It's so comparable. Like, never before has it been like this comparable.
Well, without reading the newer stuff they're doing with them, I still say my favorite iteration of the Squadron Supreme is when they had Blackhawk, right?
Yeah. In the fucking Squadron, it's Nighthawk.
Nighthawk, that's it. They had Nighthawk on the Superhero Squad show, and he was voiced by Adam West.
I fucking remember that shit. You know, that show is the fucking tits. If you're ever, you know, kicking back, puffing on some shit you ordered from Herbert, just check out the Marvel Superhero Squad. Thor is your fucking spirit animal. I shit you not. I'm telling you before you watch it right now, Thor is your spirit animal.
Yeah, as soon as you get through all, like, the reptile stuff.
Yeah.
And they open the world up, that's when it becomes a fantastic show.
I mean, I get wanting to make, like, a half-kid, half-dinosaur. But then why wouldn't you do, like, how Spider-Man or Batman does their things, you know? While going to school, having a personal life, you know? You're not the reptile, you're just the human kid version. But then you go to meet the other heroes, or you see a villain stuff in progress, and you gotta duck into an alley and just polymorph into the closest thing with scales in the reptile in the dinosaurs kingdom.
So that is, and Shauna's almost done the Sinestro doll. So we'll have that up probably before we go to bed tonight. And that's really it for Collector's Corner, is just the stuff that she's been working on. We're waiting until we can get to the city so we can do some shopping.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff. Aside from that, I still catching up with the manga books. I actually got my I actually got manga in the mail that I pre-ordered, and the one book ended up coming like I think like a roughly about a week earlier than it should have been because that's the official release date for it. I guess they already had it in stock, ready to put on shelves. But hey, here it was. I'm like, okay, I'm totally good with that.
Manga in the mail sounds dirty.
It really does. Because then it sets your mind to that darker part of animation and how mysteriously proud people are of it.
And Mai's getting his copy of The Fisherman's Wife.
Oh my god. I fucking love The Fisherman's Wife.
The retentacling?
Yes. That one's my favorite one. Like when Aldernaut came to me and he's like, hey, check this shit out. Well, yeah, sure. I was like, oh, fuck. And then he brought me the retentacling, and I was just rebaptized right there.
And then you realize everyone else was also reading it in the work bathrooms?
Ah, gross.
Everybody was reading them in the men's work bathrooms.
Take a shot if you get the reference, folks.
Phrasing.
All right, so what do you say we hit the Batman sound effect? Then we come back and do the shortest film we've ever reviewed.
Absolutely. And it was a quick, fun, and colorful picture, too. So if you had seen it, fantastic. You're in Canada and you have Netflix. Take 25 minutes out of your time and check this shit out. It is not bad whatsoever. It has some solid names behind the voice acting. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend like just a short period of time, you know, especially if you're like, well, I want to watch something, then I want a game, or you got to go out somewhere, but you got to keep it simple and enjoy it at the same time. This is the right thing for you.
Hey, if you're in for a long haul deuce, bring your phone.
Ah.
Oh my God. You can have Netflix on your phone while you make Duke.
You suck.
We'll be right back.
What up? We're back at it again, spitting news and reviews. Keep that view skewed. And, of course, as mentioned previously, we took on the challenge of Batman Beleaguered, a short but sweet story about the Caped Crusader and his great and powerful lesson about teamwork and joining the ranks of the Justice League.
Yeah, not a very Easter egg-heavy film. Got some great jokes in it, great sight gags. I thought the Bat Family sight gag was hilarious.
And we got part of DC's all-time favorite ground to cover in almost everything they do, ice puns.
Yeah, movie definitely sets up these characters for future use. If you're just jumping into the Lego Batman universe, you now know, hey, here's some of your main big players going forward for our full-length films.
I don't know how much of a difference it would have made, but noticing that they had John DiMaggio in this movie as Lex Luthor, and he didn't do Aquaman? Why? I want to hear him as a Lego. I want to hear him as a Lego Aquaman. He can even be like a cinematic Lego Aquaman.
One of the main changes right away is we don't get a classic traditional DC logo. We get a flipping little logo that shows our six Justice League members.
Yeah, basic cut and paste of the rags they got. Green Lantern wasn't included in the bunch. It was a weird one for me, but okay, you know, it's the route they wanted to take. Regardless of which way they went, it was just yet another form of media to help introduce Cyborg as a full-time member of the Justice League.
And it starts off with a Batman monologue talking about how dangerous Gotham after midnight can be.
Lo and behold, the environment just so happens to be the view of a starlit night on Gotham City. And going into Gotham City's Museum of Natural History. During this monologue, a bat-like silhouette is surveilling just the overall interior of the museum, It seems as though it's flying on patrol while Batman's going along with this monologue about the importance of the nighttime detail in crime fighting. In which case, it doesn't turn out to be Batman flying around, but quite the turnabout there, in Man-Bat. Kirk Langstrom is flying around. It's Gem Mania, like a really big jewel exhibit in Gotham City in a publicly open forum for some stupid fucking reason.
But, yeah, and the other shock there is it's Man-Bat. Normally when you see jewels in Gotham, the first person you expect to be trying to steal them is Catwoman.
Or at the very least, another likely criminal coming along there. Batman fires off like this powerful-ass Lego net at him and just splats him against the wall with it, makes his grand entrance, and there's an ambush follow-up by the Penguin. And, you know, Batman's like, oh, you must be working with Man-Bat to steal the jewels and shit.
And yeah, I wrote down that Man-Bat got Spider-Maned.
He did get Spider-Man, and sometimes in the DC universe, you have to go full flip.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, Penguin, he's freaking out because Batman uses a Batarang to destroy his robo-penguins.
Oh my god. There's already a semblance of bestiality where Batman's doing a Spider-Man-like net. That means he's making webbing. And webbing is just wrist-activated goop. He swept on the manimal.
Well, when you make another manimal. Goop and you flip it in someone's face.
Diggy goop? Is diggy goop.
Oh my god. This is every anime convention ever. So when
Batman starts talking about how you know, he's here, he could be a big threat, and turns out he is Superman.
Oh yeah, you get this. I instantly knew from the fact it was Nolan North. I was so happy, and I'm like, I don't even give a shit who he plays. And then Superman appears. I'm like, fuck. In which case, he didn't do a bad job in it either. I don't hear him as like a Superman kind of guy, but in the humorous factor and like the Lego factor, it worked out very well though. So the Penguin's doing his thing on his duck cycle with his, robo penguins that he called them. And yep. they're all firing off rounds at Batman, and he easily oversized Lego batarangs the shit out of them in one go. And biker mice from Cobblepots over here starts going at him with rubber ducky fucking motorcycle. Holy cow. And he's like, you know, I don't need your help fighting the Penguin or the Joker. He's like, Joker, what are you even? This guy is super hearing, and you thought he would have heard a fucking vehicle coming to crash into a building. And Batman's just like, yeah, no, that wall there's a couple centimeters to your right. Perfect. Joker's vehicle flies in. He's like, that is just incredible stuff. He wasn't even here and you knew he was going to be here. That's what makes you good at this. And I thought that was really adorable.
Yes, you know, he's giving him the praise. Batman's not having it. What I like is that they used a Jack Nicholson-like design for the Joker.
Yeah. John DiMaggio didn't do bad at that either. I mean, it was surprisingly for a Batman feature, it was just grunts and giggles, and that was pretty much about it. Which was sadly all it was from the Joker. You could tell that something way bigger is in play for this if the Joker is not, like, you know, your main villain going into it.
Indeed. And, you know, Superman's all like, look, you got to join us. We're putting together our team of super friends. We're calling it the Justice League. And Batman's just like, nah, bro.
Like, no, that sounds incredibly droll, you know, you and a bunch of friends creating a clubhouse and shit, you know, and he sounds like a small town farm boy. Did you know if Mize was a tea drinker in merry old London with a Victorian kind of handlebar mustache, you know what he'd say about this? The same thing I did just before I asked about this very thing. Quite so. Because it would just simply be me with a fantastic mustache, you see.
Well, fantastic mustache or not, Supes vanishes in the air in like a little cloud of firework, as does the gem.
Yeah.
Perhaps the gem was just a hologram.
It could have been a hologram. I mean, why would they bring in the real thing? Like, perhaps they just, you know, put in a fake, and after closing hours, they take the fake out, and then they just fire up a hologram. That would actually be fire. That would be amazing. I love the ever-loving shit out of that. And the gem is the only thing that disappears. Superman shortly goes along with it there. He was just like, oh, hey there, what's this? And then, whoop, done. It was crazy good shit.
Well, we cut into the Batcave. A really nice Batcave, too.
Oh, yeah. Is it just me, or does that Lego Abraham Lincoln look fucking sinister?
All of them do. Like, all Abraham Lincolns.
Yeah, except for the counterfeit ones. Remember the one with the turtleneck? Do you remember that movie, Jay? Where Daphne's like, let's drive off the fucking cliff.
That could have been a tactical turtleneck.
Holy cow. Tactical neck. Daphne clearly spoke way more weed than anybody in that van.
She ate a 1,200 milligram shattered chocolate bar to herself from our friends at Herb Approach.
Oh my god. Never mind the chocolate bar. She straight up robbed the Girl Scouts for their edible.
Girl Scouts.
Well, in this Bat Cave, Alfred shows up behind Batman being all like, look, you really should join this Justice League. It'd be good for you. And I notice he's got this tray with three drinks on it. I'm like, okay, there's a joke coming here. And as Batman's in the middle of his speech about how he needs no one, he's a one-man fighting force against crime, he is justice, he is the knight. Nightwing in his new 52 outfit, Damian Wayne's Robin, and Batgirl all show up and start sipping the drinks that Alfred had brought for them.
This is during the same time that Bruce is going on about how it's better for him to work alone. He doesn't want anyone around him to get in danger or anything like that. He can't risk anybody getting hurt or better yet finding out who he really is or anything like that. And all these kids just from out of nowhere. Here you thought Alfred was just holding like a stereotypical like toy piece in regards to his build. Nope, it turns out they were there for a reason, and I snickered pretty hard at that.
Well, it was probably after school. They needed their after-school snacks. Come on, people.
They needed juice boxes and their string cheese.
Yes.
Because one of these days, a Batman comic's just going to be like, okay, so Batman goes along to any of the, say, like Barbara, for example. He goes up to Barbara during his later years, like, Barbara, I've put too many people in danger, and I fear, and this would never happen if I work alone. And then Barbara just stop. You brought two more teens into this, didn't you? He's like, maybe. Or maybe this is a lead up to giving you a brand new car for your last.
I would like to see Bruce Wayne sitting down at Gotham Academy during PTA meetings or parent teacher night.
Oh, come on. He'd send Alfred.
He would, and Alfred would be like, but miss, I go to this school, and I find your adult behavior quite adolescent.
Oh, man.
Well, Batman figures out, you know, I can't be everywhere on Earth at once. I do need someone's help here. And he reluctantly calls the Flash.
He was good. He was really looking for anybody at Justice League headquarters. We just got lucky enough to have the Flash introduced in this manner right at this time, too. He was portrayed very well. doing things, you know, relatable to various people's like creative outlets, and as such, you know, liking and being part of a superhero universe.
So, yeah, Flash all excited. Batman's calling, being all like, "Hey, are you calling to join the team?" Batman, of course, shooting him down on that. And during their conversation, Flash is going back and forth of an easel, and he's painting.
He is. It slows him down. It helps him feel more relative to humanity. All the while, he's still managing to focus on Batman's every word in regards to what he needs him for. Well, not the entirety of it, but leading into what he needs him to do for starters to, you know, proceed on with things. So he's like, how fast can you get? And before he even finishes the fucking sentence, Barry's there. With the painting finished, he's like, here, feel it'll really brighten up the cave. And right then, it zooms out to the same posture he has on there. Barry Allen ran through time so he could paint Bruce's like posture at that exact second and then run back in time. And then here's you from the future.
That's kind of a dick move.
Of course it is. Because do you know who actually starred in that movie and kept you up in traffic on the way to the wrong state? It was me, Barry. It was me. So Eobard-Thawne just got Barry Allen paid.
Well, we cut to Superman, and he's trying to escape what looks like a big bird cage. He's in jail.
There's a...
The bars are kryptonite, sir.
Yeah, there's a stern voice overbearing the fact that Superman's a prisoner since he's clearly in a cage. There's nothing he can do, no way he can get out. And, well, Superman, because he's Superman's like, buddy, come on now. So he heads for the bars, and as Jay said, they're made of kryptonite. They just start igniting on touch, and that's some powerful-ass shit. And there are very few characters, like just the mainstream villain base of either Batman or Superman, that are capable of doing this kind of stuff. So narrows it down pretty thinly, actually. So one of two characters.
And now we cut to Batman. He's flying the Batplane in Egypt. He's checking in with Flash. Any sign of him? No, he's not in, what was it? I know Mexico was the last one, Switzerland and China.
Yeah, just a lot of major countries in the eastern part of the world. It sums it down to how quickly and how thoroughly Barry can get work done, and in which case covering that much ground in such a short amount of time is absolutely spectacular.
Why is Barry wasting time going to such far apart countries and not checking all these ones in between as he's going? Those three countries are not.
That's an excellent question. It may be, you know, just automatically implied just by the sheer mention of the amount of countries he was able to do in a short period of time, but that does strongly bear the question about the ones and the in-between. Like, even for Barry moving so fast, probably moving past the detail of it, he could have been like, you know, I went through these countries and a few other ones as that, but I'm back here and I didn't find Superman anywhere.
What they do find is the tips of the pyramids in Giza are starting to freeze.
Absolutely. And snow just doesn't magically conjure out of the air unless you're Aurora Monroe, the weather wizard, or a villain voiced by Kevin Michael. Yay! He's doing Captain Cold, of course, because you gotta DC just has to use Captain Cold, and I'm all for it. So far, every rendition, regardless of how I feel about how they look, fantastically done.
Yeah, he's he's putting a freeze down on not just the pyramids, but he's also freezing an obelisk as well.
Yeah, it seems as though he's either trying to destroy it or knock it over and steal it. And rogues being rogues from Central City, clearly trying to fucking steal it. So here he is trying to detach it from the base there. Pretty smart move. I mean, it's right there at your height range. Continues going along in spots that, he's about to be encountered by the Flash and Batman. So Leonard Snart, being the actually experienced supervillain, learns from his run-ins with the Flash and dust up the ground in a nice solid strip of ice there. Running ahead, he just slips right onto that bad boy, and it causes Barry to bowl right into some very conveniently set up pillars. I mean, I swear to God, it's almost as though, again, another one of the things about, you know, it just being kids playing with Lego bits. They're playing superheroes with all this stuff, I swear to God. That's why the pillars were set up as they were, so they could use Barry Allen as a bowling ball with super speed.
And they probably hucked him across the room.
Oh my God, They probably put a hole in the door. Just tossing it so goddamn hard at it. And when the parents come to check it out, I just threw my toy against the wall or something and try to hold, like, hide the back part of the door from their parent.
Well, Flash being Flash decides to pull the old tornado move and starts running around Captain Cold at high speeds. This is actually warming up the glass to warming up the sand beneath him to ultra high levels, of course, starting to melt it.
And by the time that temperature sets back in, it all becomes solid again as glass. Pretty fucking tight stuff, reflective glass at that. So remember, when as we progress through this battle between the heroes and Captain Cold, that this glass is reflective.
And that's also when Flash vanishes.
Yeah, he ends up running into the pillar after it falls over. All that speed force and jazz was affecting the environment around them. So ended up breaking off, falling over. Oh, yeah, that's right, because he started randomly firing ice bolts all over the damn place. And when he did that, it caused Flash to run into it. He fucking poofs when he tries to run back at Captain Cold and just completely disappears mid-punchway. And then Captain Cold actually freezes up Batman, which was actually super shocking for me. I'm like, there's no way they're going to give this to Leonard Snart. And all of a sudden, just boom, block of ice, the Dark Knight. I'm like, holy crap. That's fucking cool.
But Batman, he is prepared for everything. And that includes his super exothermal outer underwear.
over underwear.
Down the bat dick explosion.
Oh my God. He just busts nut wherever he wants. Like, there's legit, like, the most powerful known human entity on the planet is Batman's penis. It probably shakes at a tremendous frequency to be able to thaw him out of there.
It is his favorite sidekick.
So that's who he was yelling dick out to in the field. Shit. I should have caught on. All right.
Uh-oh. Well, after the bat dick explosion, he and Snart continue their tete-a-tete of violence until it looks like Batman's going to get the upper hand when, oh no, our boy Captain Cold's gone too.
With an ice pun. Oh, told him to cool his head. God damn it. God Christ. He deserved to disappear after that. That was a bad joke. I mean, like, it was a funny bad joke because it was a DC Comics ice pun, but you know what I mean. Cringeworthy.
Only disappearing act in the area because the obelisk tower also vanishes. It's then that Batman realizes that the runes around him have Atlantean carvings.
The hieroglyphics would suggest that their origins did come from Atlantis, and their ties to the Thanagarians could be even deeper from there if they ever wanted to explore that kind of thing, you know? I'd be all for reading all about that kind of shit.
And it's here that Batman realizes he needs Aquaman's help.
He does, because that makes, well, aside from Superman, that makes two heroes. That's never good. One was enough, especially the most powerful man on the planet. So having to go underwater, the best way to go would be the Atlantean Kingdom. And Aquaman is, like, just funny as fuck. and his entire, like, just a self-introduction to, like, a just Batman being well acquainted with him overall. You know, he's trying to be, like, such a cool dude, but he's always, like, throwing in your face that he's the king of Atlantis. Like, he's a fucking douche like that. Hey, how you doing? I'm Arthur, king of Atlantis. Can I buy you a drink? By the way, I'm king of Atlantis.
Yeah, and he knows nothing about Atlantis either, because moments after we get their introduction, we see Black Manta.
Yes, he and his robo sharks are trying to take Poseidon's trident.
or he's trying to take the pitchfork of that statue guy.
Aww.
You mean Poseidon? Oh, yeah. We have a lot of gods. It's so true, because there are so many goddamn gods in the DC universe being used. Everything from reference to the Rock of Eternity to Mount Olympus to even like of a Norse nature.
But the fact that he like doesn't know, you know, his own lineage.
No, he is completely oh my god, he's completely ignorant to it, excuse me.
Yeah, oblivious, ignorant.
That was it. Oblivious.
But you know what's not oblivious? Fucking robo sharks.
Oh my god.
We've now had robo penguins and robo sharks.
We have a robo shark upstairs.
What? Why do you have. Oh, Jesus Christ. Could you imagine just one day, you know, when you guys are back in Hamilton and everything like that, and just there's this like constant big bang thumping noise going on there, and people are wondering what the fuck it is. I'm wondering what the fuck it is. And Sean's like, oh, pick this up from Toronto on the way here. And it's just a giant like shark mech. It's like King Shark, but a robot.
It's okay. We've been watching YouTube videos of a couple in Japan that have pet otters.
Yeah, I seen you join that shit earlier on there. I'm like, that's pretty awesome stuff. It's pretty fun. It's always cool watching nice animal stuff.
Robo sharks, and so Black Manta gets himself Poseidon's trident, and Arthur starts freaking out. Not because the pitchfork is important, but it's what keeps the statue up.
Yeah, I thought that was just absolutely silly. I mean, it worked. It really did. But it was just the goofiest way to get to that point. Like, you know what? Aquaman's already been introduced as this kind of silly, so I'm going to roll with it. And you know what? I wasn't disappointed by the whole story whatsoever. While Batman was battling the sharks, and his ship ended up getting torn apart by the robo-sharks, and as he jetted out, he got onto one of the robot sharks that didn't blow up, which was really badass. And then he removed the headpiece from it, the one that was receiving the signal to be controlled by Black Manta. So I guess that the engine was still running and he was just steering it on his own underwater, which is just fucking brilliant. In which case, after Aquaman disappears, Manta ends up getting taken down like pretty hard by the Batman, and the fucking trident goes. And Manta goes too, I'm fairly certain.
Yep, all three gone.
Yeah, they just disappear out of absolute nowhere. And it doesn't really seem like Batman would be catching on to something, but Batman knows his rogues gallery very well, especially if it's a Lego one. I mean, the Lego Batman movie clearly put that point into action there when making pretty much like a child's playtime into a fantastic cinematic feature.
But with that, before we, Batman computes and figures out his next plan of attack, what do you say we take what will probably be the only commercial break during this review?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It is going by fast. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. All right, before we jump back into the review, of course, our quick programming notes. Next week being the episode that would be dropping on Saturday the 10th, there will be no episode that weekend, as Sean and I will be traveling, getting our second shots, and then traveling down to Hamilton, of course. That'll be a busy weekend for us. On the 16th, it'll be Lego Justice League versus the Bizarro League. This is what I have seen before. I'm looking forward to reviewing it. The 23rd is the Justice League versus the Legion of Doom.
Yay.
I believe it's called Attack of the Legion of Doom. And then on July 30th, that'll be the 24th, that one comes out. And of course, on the 31st of July will be Justice League Cosmic Clash.
Cosmic Clash.
That's right. And then the first week of August, we will have a special episode. Not only will we be talking about our thoughts on Suicide Squad that'll be coming out, but also we promised that we'll be doing our first live action review as we review DC's Legends of the Superheroes.
Hasn't even been open yet.
I haven't even taken it out of the cellophane package yet.
Like, are you gonna do it like on air as well? Like, just so that way people could like just do a sound bit of you taking it out of its packaging.
Yeah, we can do that, and then we'll hit the sound effect, and then we'll jump right in with our review of the whole thing.
I like it.
That sounds fantastic.
So there's your month's worth of programming notes for you, folks.
Oh, I can't wait for all these Lego fashion Justice League style adventures, especially for Batman related titles. You know, they've been doing
there's a Flash one coming up in the future. There's a Shazam one.
That's right. I remember the Flash when I watched that one. I was thoroughly entertained by it, and I can't wait to get into it again. But these ones coming up, that sounds pretty fantastic. And again, it's just an overall exciting summer for DC Comics. I can't wait to see how much further things go into the likes of Infinity Frontier, for the likes of fucking Fear State, how similar or what differences there may be in regards to the State of the Future, just overall, depending on what we've learned from the Future State arc.
Yeah, I've counted them out. With our Lego films and specials, we will get the next 13 weeks out of this.
That sounds pretty dope. I mean, that just means I get so many months of watching DC Comics stuff.
That's right. Then we will jump back into, because we've got some more classic animated features that we haven't even touched yet.
It just keeps getting better. Plus, with the long Halloween part two just around the corner, just to really sweeten the deal, like,
that's right. So that'll push back Crisis Clash, because that comes out the last week of July. So we'll be doing that review.
Oh.
So the Cosmic Clash, will be coming out. That'll be the first week that we are back remote recording.
It's good they did that at the end of July, because in August, it always gets hot in August. Never as hot as the night that Johnny Vitti got married.
There you go.
I'm always in the spirit. I got the spirit eyes.
Now, if you do play the drinking games, they have to do two shots, because we went past Damian Wayne and you did not go on your rant.
I didn't need the rant then. Because if I were to need the rant then, it would have had to have been Damian Wayne coming in on his own for the Batcave, because it was Batman and Robin, not Batman and Robin and Nightwing and a Batgirl. In which case, by introducing them only to emphasize Batman's point is completely acceptable, used in a humorous fashion. Whereas if we were trying to build integrity on the name Robin, regardless of which faces show up or which faces have taken some form of a incarnation, some various time period of the Robin name, that would be something else.
And who would you say has been the best predecessor to this Robin name?
Well, so far, Batman, because if there wasn't a Batman, there wouldn't be Robin.
If there wasn't a spirit, there would be Batman.
Oh, if there was no Batman, that would mean Bruce's parents would have called a cab like regular people.
Well, you know who's not regular people?
Irregular people?
Wonder Woman and Cyborg. They're the last two Justice League members standing.
That was my fourth guess. They are, and Batman's got to go over into the heart of Metropolis, it turns out, where Cyborg and Wonder Woman are fending off the safety of Metropolis and the globe of the Daily Planet from local menace Lex Luthor. Oh my god. I mean, I can't even fit in like a loser core tie clip into this one, because this combination of bricks looked like a child that tried to make a capital L and sorely fucking screwed up on it. Like, this suit was just goofy. Like, I loved Lex Luthor and shit. I loved, you know, how he proceeded his bravado and shit like that. But just the suit, it didn't sit well with me.
And it seemed to be built just perfectly for the Batwing to fly up and pin it against the wall.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, Lex took a serious blow there. Like, he could have been cut in half himself by that fucking plane stunt. Bruce could have been totally guessing as to where Lex was actually placed in it, or where it was safest to fucking ram into. He could have just killed him, is what I'm saying. And that's straight up Rocksteady Arkham behavior shit right there.
Well, Batman and Lex do get into a scuffle, and Lex just kind of pinches him by the head using the suit.
Oh, yeah, he does, because the heroes all go on about a speech about how they're going to stop him from taking the globe and shit, because his mysterious benefactor is going to give him the world if they bring him the top of one fucking building.
Not just any building, though. He wants the globe from the top of the Daily Planet building.
Why, Lex? Why? Because it's mine. I found it first. I want it. And he just takes off. I would be fine with that. So
why would Lois Lane let that happen?
She's union. She doesn't care.
No, yeah, she could probably have her like mandatory 15, and then just go down on the elevator, like rapidly pressing the button to go down. Da da da. This elevator's never moved so slow before. Na na na.
Flash.
Oh my god, even the friction would just melt her in half.
She was able to have Superman's children, so
they did it all under special conditioning, I imagine, but yeah, that is true.
Red Sun is.
They probably introduced, like, you know, a proper amount of that style of radiation, so that way it's not like affecting them like in any negative fashion. Otherwise, things wouldn't have turned out so well for them.
Well, speaking of a negative fashion, both Wonder Woman and Cyborg fucking vanish as well.
Yeah, they are completely gonzo, and that leaves just Batman alone on the roof to deal with Lex Luthor, in which case he just picks him up by the head like a big claw around his face, and he's just, it's good, man, and just drops him. Well, he doesn't necessarily drop him. Batman squeezes his way out, sorry. He needed to escape. He could have just crushed his head, come to think of it. Probably what he wanted to do, but Lego be Lego.
Yeah, so Batman pops off the cowl and covers his face as he falls to the ground.
And but not
We cut down to a dumpster in Metropolis. A guy throws his bag, what's left of his bag lunch, in the trash. Batman fucking hits with a thud. We cut to Batman. He's bald.
He is. Like, how would anybody be able to tell? If everybody's just a bald dude, how would anyone be able to tell that is Bruce Wayne? Why would Bruce Wayne get rid of that luscious bachelor hair?
What if it's a wig?
Probably.
It could be a wig. It could be a wig.
Well, that could be a bald cap.
primarily due to the fact that he notices that his hairline's receding, and every single night that he wakes up to fight crime alongside of his partner, he notices Damien's hair, his beautiful flowing black hair that he inherited from his father, and it's flowing, and it's making Bruce absolutely embarrassed. Embarrassed by the fact that he has to stare at the everlasting, full-volume, shiny as hell, like just mane of hair off of the greatest Robin to ever come out of the line of sidekicks that happen to stand next to the Dark Knight. Telepathy, popularity, overall candor. Put aside there, you still need a Robin that gets it done. And nobody gets it done like the greatest Robin out there. And that's Damian Wayne. The best Robin.
Well, Batman laying in this dumpster realizes the best thing to do is to become Bagman.
He did. He became the incredible Baghead, the spectacular Baghead, or whatever the Spider-Man reference is when he put on the Fantastic Four suit in the paper bag.
Yep.
Outstanding. So he goes to make his way back up to Lex, and Lex doesn't even stop to laugh at him or anything. He knows the kind of threat that Batman is, regardless of what creative outlet he's portrayed in. In which case, we're all left there under the hilarity that there's a dude fighting off a giant robot in a paper bag mask.
But not only that, Lex and the globe both go poof as well.
They do. And Bruce is just tripping out on the most wild batch of LSD that's ever been distributed in Gotham, clearly. I mean, maybe Joker didn't need to poison the water. Maybe this it's just the fucking Gotham ambiance.
The clean air of Metropolis is getting to him.
So, would you like a beverage? Water. And mineral or bottled? No, Alfred. Tap water. But sir, there's lead in the water. Don't worry about it. That just means Superman won't see the kryptonite on me. I don't think that's how it works, Master Bruce. Which one of us dresses up like a bat?
Oh my.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Why has George Takei never voiced Alfred?
Oh my god. He has that soothing voice that helps your own like just self-security, your esteem and shit, but it's also stern, memorable, and influential as well. So if he had portrayed Alfred Pennyworth at any given point in time, I think that would be fucking legendary.
And sassy as well.
Oh my god, he's incredibly fucking sassy. I would not care if it had any like ethical kind of twist to it. You have to portray the character for me, and that's what I'm looking for. And he has that sound. He sounds like the kind of like guy who would excel at being an Alfred Pennyworth.
Well, Batman somehow gets to a Batmobile. He's driving down the road, and he's putting it all together. Taking away everyone that wants to be my friend.
Yeah.
There's only one person obsessed with me enough to cock block me from having any friends.
And that comes back to when I mentioned it's one of two people. It's either the Superman one, Mr. Pixel, or the other fella there, the bad guy.
Pick-a-lick-a-dick.
That's it. Mr. Pick-a-lick-a-dick. But this isn't a Superman Lego feature, so of course it's going to be Batmite, especially given the whole Bat Museum and everything, the various renditions of how he showed Batman his own personal fan base of him, which was just eerily dark in every sense ever given. Oh, look at you, Brave and the Bold, you nasty fucks. You sneaky bastard.
That's my Snyder fan.
Oh my god.
Well, he's explaining, look, I've got the Justice League locked up in a cage. I've set up this over-elaborate 1966 Rube Goldberg trap device.
It's absolutely fantastic. Not only did he set up an entire bat cave, but he set up an elaborate game of mousetrap. If he had actually come from the shadow to Batman and he said, "I'm glad you're here, Batman, to witness one of my greatest inventions in your honor." It's a zany action, a crazy contraption. The fun
catching them.
Yeah, exactly that. It's mousetrap. Build yourself a trap and trap the other mice, but don't get caught yourself.
You guys are way too young.
It's mousetrap.
Mousetrap was awesome.
Yes, but yeah. I mean, well, I guess I was gonna say that from the 70s, early.
It also 80s, had a huge comeback in the 90s.
I forgot it did come back. I'm like, how do you two know this? But then again, you do sugar.
Yeah, I do weird references.
Yeah.
Well, Batman's like, okay, so basically you just want me to play your big game. What if I don't want to play?
Well, then he goes on about how the method of operation for his plan to destroy the Justice League, I guess, is to set off a series of events based off of different motions and actions from items that have been collected upon or disappeared earlier on in the future. Aside from, of course, the heroes and villains, in which case, you know, the likes of the Trident, the Globe, the Obelisk, or the Obelisk, as he called it in the future there. Jeez. I think that was, and the gem used from the sun, which was pretty clever shit. It had a very Indiana Jones vibe to like the sun gathering like the energy from it and shit. So it went on. There was like a bit where shit rolled over a dinosaur's tail and he opened his mouth so the dinosaur actually felt the pain of it. They like released a cord or shit. It was so goofy. Oh my goodness. This is something I would expect out of the 66 animated features, you know, like this kind of trap that the Joker set up. And instead of moving out of the way, stopping it, or going and punching somebody in the face, everybody stands still and their full attention would be drawn to the animation of it all.
Yes, what was going to happen is the Daily Planet globe was going to spin, knocking over the obelisk, smacking the penny, making it roll over the dinosaur's tail, causing it to open its mouth, drop the curtains, which would power the gem, shine on the gem to power the giant death laser.
You know what? That sounds, that sounds pretty genius. I mean, that's what I would do to kill the Justice League.
But then Batman just shrugs his shoulders and he's like, "Nah, bro, I'm good, do it."
He's like, "This ain't my team. I'm not worried." Like, he's very Frank Miller Batman at this point. He's like, man, I'm good.
He's like, none of these people have a gimmick that makes it sound like they can fly, but they can't really fly.
So it's pretty much established at this point that the heroes can't get out because the cage is created from the kind of energy that, you know, using your powers would work against them. So all they had to do was not use their powers, and they just walked out of the fucking cage as the death ray went off. Like, they're watching everything that happened. They're like, "Well, this was fucking fun, guys. You want to go?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure. Let's go to a Taco Bell or some shit." They just dipped. They moved out of the way. They were watching the whole time, and for some reason they didn't see them just leave.
Yeah, you can see flaps in the cage, but you can't see them just stop and walk out calmly.
That's incredible. Well, it's often you don't find the things like right in front of you right off the bat. So I guess with the Flash moving at such a slow pace, it just feels like part of the environment already.
Well, then that is like, you know what? You wanted to try teach me a lesson that I didn't need these people. I proved to myself that I do. I am going to join their Justice League.
He's all like, "What? Oh, man, this isn't the kind of thing what I wanted." And he lets his immaturity get the better of him. But it's just a little more excitement for us because he reassembles all the villains he made disappear from earlier on. So the likes of Cat and Cold, Black Manta, the Penguin, Joker, Lex Luthor, and the Robo Penguins. I think the Robo Penguins. Oh, man. Fucking Penguins. So we get a pretty nifty little skirmish amongst that very, you know, casual Justice League versus Legion of Doom kind of vibes. And they're going at it pretty well, you know? It's a fucking fantastic little fight there. A lot of, really clever bits of combat for them, especially for, just the Lego feature. I'm like, wow, that's diabolical. That was actually, pretty fucking sneaky for some of these bits there. Especially how Luthor was being whipped around. He did a fairly good job, but holy shit, he got beat good.
Yeah, of course, the battle does not last long as things get all wrapped up.
That was fairly much it.
It all ends with, Batman being like, you know what, I am going to join. And he starts having an inner monologue about keeping an eye on Superman before he starts an evil, a supervillain laugh comes out of Batman.
he doesn't even mean to have a supervillain laugh. He's just laughing along with them, and it sounds fucking sinister. And it scares them. No wonder Batman doesn't laugh or smile. That's what scares people. And so I guess Frank Miller had it right the entire time with the All-Star Batman and Robin series, where he had the laughing Batman. I guess you could even call him the Batman who laughs, as this one. And he's jumping across rooftops and shit, howling in the night. And he's still Batman's people, but while laughing at them and shit, it really scares the shit out of everybody.
Jay was so scared he had to come in and tell me about it because I was in the bedroom smoking a bowl, and he had to come in and was like, Batman has an evil laugh. You have to come here.
So is this the kind of Scooby-Doo scared where he comes in and he goes on Beaker for about 8 seconds where he's just like, and he's frantically pointing towards the living room and he's doing Hammer Time leg at the same time?
Not quite that bad. It was more the calm, the slow blinking. Batman has an evil laugh. I need you to come hear this.
All right. My second guess.
And that wraps up Batman Beleaguered.
Yeah. Aside from Bruce's maniacal laugh, Batmite ended up creepily just becoming a Justice League fan / stalker / mischievous imp alongside for all the heroes now. So
yeah, Flash ain't a fan of that idea.
No. And this is a man who can just, dip from his very appearance, but then Batmite will just show up wherever Flash is.
Can you imagine a fifth dimension speedster obsessed imp?
Oh my God. It's one of those moments. That person during your childhood who murdered your mother. It wasn't your father, Barry. It was me. And then just off in the corner, there's Batmite. Jesus, just fuck already. Because they're so attached at the hip, those two.
Anything you want to shout out before we drop the socials and wrap it up for the week?
Well, aside from the socials, you can usually check out the Horror Haven Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Twitch at 8 p.m. Going through various horror games. Recently, he's done some Dead by Daylight. He's got some new attire to add to the, just kind of horror-esque background he always presents to everybody. It all gets, fun and super spoopy spooky. And like I said, go on and join him on Twitch Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 p.m. The Horror Haven, _horror_haven. And you'll know what I find him.
Perfect. As well as speaking of Twitch people, check out our friend Ashley at Ashley Versus. Of course, she is one of the writers for the upcoming Batman Arkham Knights game.
I cannot wait for Gotham Knights to come out. Gotham Knights looks exciting. I can only imagine the multitude of various stories of various creative twists that all members of the staff will have on this project, and I'm super excited. I mean, Arkham Knight was fantastic, but this is, I'm going to love having an entire game for, you know, the Bat family just as much as, you know, we had the ones for the Batman. I mean, sure, the little bits and adventures we did as various characters were fun, but now it's a completely new open story, and it's fucking dope.
Shauna, where can the people find your knitting stuff?
On Twitter at Mookie_buddies. Instagram at Mookie's Buddies.
Perfect. And by the end of tonight, you'll see the Sinestro that's up there. She's working on the hair right now for him. Of course, you want to support me, you can pick up a t-shirt at whatamaneuver.net. Find my name in the drop-down. Pick up that t-shirt. You can also find all of us at DC Review Pod. You can find me on Twitter at ClownyJ. You can find Shauna at Six Space Hair Mize. Where can the people find you?
I'm at Mize 1987 on Twitter, Woman Mize on Instagram. And, you know, you can connect us from there. Any ideas or questions that you have, or any chime-ins you want to have in on reviews, or any just overall talk on DC Comics. We always love hearing from you guys, and we always love giving the brain teaser things and fun, like, project-style, like, assignments, like, you know, putting together our top, like, 10, or, like, a version of, like, this style of Justice League or something like that. I always love doing stuff like that.
Perfect. As well, shout out to our friends at Backyard Pro on YouTube, Pro Backyard on Twitter, coming back hot for season 3.
Absolutely stupendous feature, and I certainly can't wait till y'all go watch that, so that way you can tune into the smash hit new series Rough Enough, featuring the dancing weapon Josh Alexander.
And with that, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in for each and every episode you like you do. We love you for it. Give us at least that 3-star review. We know we're worth at least that.
I'd like to think
Shauna, so. Shauna, anything else from you before we go?
I don't think so.
Perfect. Mize, anything left on your mind?
Well, aside from the 725, you know where it's at in the Hammer. You know, visit them during the usual comic days, Wednesday through Sunday. He's got what you're looking for.
Great but weekend that, deals as well.
Oh, always great. Always great weekend deals. Also great, like, throughout the week, progress in regards to what's out on the rack. You know, that may be a picture of what's currently there, but that's not what may be there in an hour or something like that. So if you're close by, go and grab your titles. You know, you all know which ones are popular, which ones are really kicking off with those fun stories. I know I do. And I can't wait to catch up furthermore on the titles. I mean, it's all the better that the next time I go in for comics, I'm going to have like a nice fat stack. If there's anything I like about my comics, fucking juicy.
That's right. We will be popping there ourselves on Wednesday the 14th. We will be there in person to pick up our books.
It'll be good. That way, hopefully it'll have all what you're looking for. I'm still trying to find a fucking copy of Nightwing 79 somewhere. Like, I have it 80 and 81 sitting here, and I honest to God refuse to read them until I get 79.
Right?
I cannot fucking stress this enough. I cannot miss a fucking moment with that fucking puppy.
Well, with that, folks, we will see you on the 17th, and it will be at the same pod time.
The same pod channel, you know where we're at. That's right.